Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, happy Halloween show, third anniversary Halloween show with pop culture stars. I hope everybody's doing well. We've all had these crazy calls, and Halloween's a time to get everything back together, and the holidays are going to start on November the 1st. So this is a good holiday coming up for Halloween. It's good to have everybody here. Good evening, the Papa Stro. How are you doing?
Good. And as Dave Atwood would say, how are you, homies?
That's pretty good, I think. My goodness, yeah, doing pretty, I'm glad you're doing well. What you been up
to? Well, finally enjoying this, well, I could say winter weather. skip the fall. But, yeah, things are slowly getting back to the norm here on my end. It's been, as we all know, it's been a crazy month. Things are rolling.
Uh-oh. Well, that's good. That's good. We're glad everything's great. Dave Atwell, what's up?
Pretty much second to motion of what Stro just got done saying. Been an interesting month. You know, work's been rougher than usual just due to all the extracurricular stuff going on. And of course, the weather, as Stro alluded to, we went from having an 85, 90-degree day to walking outside and seeing your breath. It's like they totally skipped the 70s and 60s and went straight down to the 50s and 40s. So, interesting little dynamic going on now. It'll be interesting to see what goes on over the next 2 months. You watch, we'll have one of these Christmases where it's, you know, 75 degrees and then it snows all through January like it did last year.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. It looks like they're going to have a nasty old nor'easter up there. That's what the Facebook group says. So we'll see what happens. We're glad to have you get on our third annual Halloween show. And Todd, what's up?
Hey, just being outstanding to Supernatural up here in Indiana and glad to be able to share some of the weather we've had for the last week and a half with you people. And it did the same thing, believe it or not. It did the whole go from high 70s to like, woohoo, we broke 50 today. I was happy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
that is the way.
It's cold down here, at least it is for me, for Mother Beach guy and all the wet. But anyway, tonight we're going to have Representative Trump, George Trump, the marvelous Renaissance City group. What I'd like to do, first of all, I want to talk to my hosts, and then we'll bring on George Turkle. I want to... What good one that you've enjoyed or whatever, and then I'll round up with mine.
Now, what was that again? I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. Yeah, you kind of broke up. Who was on the call on that one?
I've got to share with everybody. I have absolutely almost no internet. I'll be walking around the parking lot now. So wanted to find out one or two Halloween stories. Some quick Halloween stories. Best one, your favorite one, or best. Dave,
that
one you'd like to share with?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when I was a kid, one time ago, I was a child, believe it or not.
Of course.
Being a military family in the 70s, you know, they didn't get paid a whole lot back in those days. And I remember my dad's death benefit was $12,500 back in those days. So had he died in combat, that would have been, you know, enough to buy mom maybe like a Yugo now. But nevertheless, mom and dad Atwell couldn't always afford the two Atwell boys store-bought Halloween costumes. So mom would always make me and my brother's Halloween costumes out of, you know, postcard and paper bags and everything. But I'm here to tell you, I won more costume contests because of mom's creativity than I ever did going out to the store and dumping $40 on, you know, some Luke Skywalker outfit. And I was everything from, God, I was a lobster one year. I was a video game console one year. I mean, mom just went right off and it killed it. She did so, you know, like I said, the creativity and, you know, the thing of it is, you know, and speaking as a parent, it's always tough when you don't have the funds to, you know, your kids always got that one buddy who's got one more thing than they do, and they come home and talk about it and it breaks your heart. But mom, for her to sit down like she did and, you know, cut and paint and paste and all this kind of stuff and dress us up in these outfits, it just shows the amount of love and the amount of consideration and the amount of creativity that wonderful lady has. So, yeah, that's always some of my best thoughts. Halloween, and of course, you know, the Halloweens I spent with my son, Rob. I know that last year they always say 13 is like the cutoff for trick-or-treating. And I told him that last year, said, look, buddy, it's your last year of trick-or-treating. He goes, yeah, I think I'll hand out candy. And I was like, I don't think you understand. You have to trick-or-treat, son. I knew the fun was over, you know what I mean? So I was having a major dad moment, you know.
Major dad moment.
Yeah.
That's right. So, all right, cool, cool. And that's good. I'd love to have seen you as a red lobster. Or is it a rock lobster, the way to be 52?
I was a fresh one. I was actually green, so I was still alive and kicking. I hadn't hit the old bay pot yet.
All right.
No doubt, a soft shell.
I should probably be a blue crab, yeah. All right, well, that's a great one. All right, Papa Stro, you're up next. You got a Halloween story for us?
This one time. I just got through having an event, and I was walking out with my brother, and I actually still had my makeup on and gear and everything. And my brother, there was a carnival next door, and my brother wanted to go check out the carnival, and actually it was his haunted house. He went to check it with me, so I didn't have time to undress or anything. I still had, like, my papa get up and everything, so we went to this haunted house and went inside and went through all the different corridors and all that, and then we went to this tunnel. And this zombie kid jumps out at me, right? And then he looks at me and then stops and just, he's like frozen scared because I still had like the makeup on and everything. And I tapped him on the back and said, yeah, well, it's okay. No worry. No, it's all good, right? So I made friends with the zombie kid. As I'm going through the haunted house still with my brother, the guy dressed as Dracula jumps out of this coffin, right? And my little brother Scott got so scared, he pretty much knocked out Dracula right in front of me. Dropped him like a hot potato. Cold cocked him.
Nice.
I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. So I'm taking my brother by the hand and I'm like, we're rushing to the haunted house, get the hell out of there, right? And and I asked Scott, I was like, Scott, why did you knock out Dracula? He said, I'm sorry, man, I just got scared.
Hazard pay.
That is as good of an answer as any, I think. Don't you?
That was hilarious. I've never seen a vampire drop in front of me like that. It was hilarious.
Wow.
Wow. That is a good one. All right, Todd, you're on deck.
All right, man, I was Stro kind of stole some of the thunder, but because I was going to go with one where Gary and we were on a haunted hayride and the goon came up to the thing and Gary must have been all about 3 years old. Man, he might have been like two. And he poked that goon in the eyes a la Three Stooges style. From inside the hayride. It was, I don't know, that's just one of my favorites. That Garion figures heavily in some of them. On just a series of short ones. My favorite costume combination that I ever remember doing was Yuki and I went as Herman and Lily Munster. We were doing this, we were helping a friend out. We just turned their whole backyard into a mini haunted graveyard thing going on, and we made the trick-or-treaters go through there, so that was a lot of fun. And that was the same year that Kana decided she wanted to go as, she was about 6 years old, she wanted to go as King Arthur from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And Garion hadn't been trick-or-treating in 2 years. He said, you get me the right costume and I'll be the knave, get me the coconut one. He sure as heck went with her as part of her costume, doing the coconuts behind her, just like she was riding the darn horse. So, yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite Halloween bits. So, those two. Just saying. Yep, like 5, 6 years old. I'm going to be Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I got another story for you. I just popped in my head when I was a kid. I was young and going on trick-or-treating. And there was these kids who wanted to play a prank on me and put on the sheet over them and to look like a ghost, right? And as soon as I turned around, they started going to boo and all that, right? And next thing you know, they're jumping up and down, cussing at each other, flapping their arms and they're running like hell. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with these guys? It turns out where they were standing, trying to scare me as being a ghost, it was like a fire ant pit. And they're getting bitten by ants.
Whoops.
They're just like freaking out, going crazy. That's like the first time I've ever seen a ghost cuss before. That's hilarious.
How about anybody got any times they had the cops called on them near Halloween for stunts they were pulling?
It was every other day of the year that they.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Same here.
This is back something like 71, and we had this little balloon rig hung with a little sheet, and what we did is we took fishing line, slung it up over the wires crossing the road, and when the vehicles would come down the street, just open the spool on the reel and that thing would float down. Or if, you know, depending upon how we did it, we could actually slide it across as you're reeling it in. Because here's enough weight. And the street light would get it. Boy, this old guy got out of his car complaining about his heart condition and everything else, went over pounding on the neighbor's door and demanded to use their phone. And yeah, we had those that were here to serve and protect coming and visiting us and telling us we just couldn't do that stuff anymore. It just... But, oh, man. Yeah. Just...
Yeah, when I was a kid, the sergeant major, he wasn't a sergeant major, of course, back then, but Dad would always, whenever my brother and I would go around doing our trick-or-treating, we'd come home. And, you know, we splashed it. Dad says, well, let's see what you got. We dump our pumpkins out there on the floor. And you go through and goes, okay, you don't like these, and you don't like these. He was going through there and culling through our loot, getting what he wanted. And every year he'd say, hey, you don't like these, you don't like these, and you don't like these either. So for years, Dad got away with that stuff, you know. So as we got older, we started pushing back. It's like, hey, hold on now. You know, you can't be bogarting all the crunch bars. You know, Pop's like, why? You don't like those? I'm like, yeah, I do. You know, come on. So years go by, and, you know, Rob comes along. And I want to say it was probably like Rob's second or third Halloween. you know, we went to the mall and hit the mall up because the mall's got a pretty nifty little thing going now where you just walk along the perimeter of the mall and all the shops give out candy. And that's pretty nifty because a lot of houses don't do the trick-or-treating anymore. So the
right.
mall's not far from my folks' house. So we hit the mall up, and then we go to Mom and Dad's. So here's Rob, you know, 2-3 years old, walks in there in his outfit. I mean, this guy's got a just massive amount of loot from the mall. And he goes in there with my dad, and, you know, Mom's out there handing out candy. And I go in the kitchen, you know, grab a beer out of the fridge and everything, and I hear Dad out in the living room going, "Let me see what you got." You don't like those, do you? No, you don't like those. I said, yeah, old habits die hard. He was looting me for years. Now he's looting my son, you know.
That's because he knew he could get away with it with that one. He was probably wondering why you weren't looting your own kid.
Yeah, criminal intent. That's what that was.
Oh, man.
Wow. Hilarious.
Yep.
I was going to say, we got to get to Dr. John for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, Papa Stroh has heard this story before, and he did not know that he was going to rehear it tonight. And I haven't told it on the air. Here we go. We were back in the old Professional Wrestling Federation, PWF days. We did our Halloween show in Mooresville, North Carolina. That was the time that I fancied myself as I wanted to be a wrestler. I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to get in and intervene with the match. And then what we're going to do is we're going to slam a big piece of sheet metal over your head, and then we're going to throw you in the coffin. And I said, that sounds great to me. So they taught me how to do it. Went over a couple of times. All right, and so there we are at the end of the night in the main event. And all of a sudden, Blood Sister's beating up on the Italian Stallion, and I can't stand it. So I get in there, and I start messing around. Blood Seeker goes out, gets this big piece of sheet metal. It was thin sheet metal. So he comes in, and he slams me over the head. And then, of course, I fall out in the ring. And, of course, his other partner, the other Blood Seeker, they get me, and they haul me outside. And I can say, John, are you okay? John, are you okay? And I said, heck with this. I'm going to teach him a lesson because I am a pretty fast learner. So they open that coffin, and they throw me in there, and they slam it. And it's the end of the night, and the crowd is going crazy. They're so mad at the Blood Seekers. And then all of a sudden, they start carrying the coffin. It was a little bit of a lightweight fake coffin. So they carry that thing back to the thing, and they open it up, and they said, John, are you okay? Did we kill you? Did we kill you? And I sat right up. I said, I'm fine, guys. They'd be so mad. But as my buddy Papa said, John, you shouldn't be doing that. You're not a professional wrestler. And Papa Stroh, you are 100% right.
Oh, did I tell you what happened, like, last Halloween? In the cage match with Shane Douglas? I was in the cage match with Shane Douglas, and then Shane Douglas, to, you know, wrestling fans are listening. I mean, he's been like the NWA, WCW, ECW. He's the franchise, right? So, we're going at it. And somehow I sneak Dorothy in the cage, right? And Shane has yet to look at Dorothy. He knew I had Dorothy, but he's yet to see her face, right? So Shane's getting up off the mat. I put Dorothy on the top rope, right? And basically pushed her off from behind. And Dorothy dove on top of Shane. Shane caught her, right? And Shane looks at Dorothy's face, freaks out. I kid you not, freaks out. Runs to the cage door. He kicks the cage door open, runs through the cage all the way to the back, and wouldn't come back in the ring. And if I didn't have the black makeup over my eyes, I was in tears laughing. And the referee came to me, the official, and says, is Shane coming back? I'm crying. I'm like, I don't think he is. And you had, like, some of the ECW alumni there, Sandman and all that, just started bawling, laughing. Because Shane just, like, freaked out seeing Dorothy. It was hysterical. And he wouldn't even come out until I had Dorothy put away. That's
a priceless story. But now, Papa Stroh, I got to ask you a question. Do you think it's appropriate to tell your Gerald Briscoe story about Dorothy?
Oh, the one at Cali Frolic in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course. I mean, we're at CAC Vegas, right? Had a big banquet going on, and like the who's who of the business was there. Oh, my God. Terry Funk, a lot of WWE talent and wrestlers from yesteryear. I was talking to Howard Finkel and finally got him to say Kabuki after all this time knowing him, and oh, it was great. I just wanted to say Kabuki one time as announcer voice, right? And I happened to have Dorothy with me at the banquet, had her own seat and everything, right? And Jerry Briscoe, he's sitting there next to Sergeant Slaughter, Jimmy Hart, Pat Patterson, everybody, right? He waves at me, says hello, and I wave back, and then I pop Dorothy out from underneath me, right? And she had her hand up like she was waving too. He freaks out. He bumps into Sergeant Slaughter, who bumps into Jimmy Hart, who bumps into Pat Patterson. It was like a big domino effect, the whole table. Oh, man. Everybody just, like, fell on top of each other. It was terrible. Oh, classic.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? While we're on awesome. Dorothy. Yeah, and then, Todd, I'm going to get right to you. While we're on to Dorothy, Papa Stroh, there is an artist whose name will go unmentioned. But I think Dorothy had an incident with that artist at a restaurant. Am I correct?
Oh yeah. What happened was we're eating at a steakhouse. We're eating at a steakhouse after a convention, right? And the artists were there and a few of the vendors, right? And the service was really slow and all that, and we're like waiting. So I'm thinking, well, I had Dorothy in the bag. I might as well bring her out and have some fun, right? So I pick up Dorothy and put her in a chair at a table behind us, right? Then we went back to conversing. And the whole time Dorothy's sitting there, waitresses are bumping to each other. I mean, all these eyes are staring at Dorothy behind us, right? And we're just like carrying on our conversation in the front table. And the whole time, one of the artists kept staring at Dorothy, right, behind him. And finally he yells, he said, "She's coming for me." And when he says that, Dorothy falls off her chair with her arms stretched out like she was going to hug him or something. He freaks out, right? There's like a big plated window on the side of our table, right? I know you've seen that movie where the guy sees a spider in the car and freaks out and puts his face and hands against the car window. Well, he did the exact same thing at the restaurant. He freaks out and yells and puts his face and hands on the window yelling, "Help," right? Freaking out. We're like busted up and laughing, right? I pick up Dorothy and put her back in a chair, and she looked like she's got a smile on her face. I'm freaking out the artist, right? And then the lights come out, right? The lights come out in the restaurant. Blacked out completely,
oh,
right?
Geez.
The power goes out. And then a couple of seconds later, the power comes back on, right? And when the power's on, I'm standing there with Dorothy in my hands, and everybody's looking at me, right? And, I'm looking at going, "You're welcome." Oh, jeez.
You've got the
classic.
Best stories with Dorothy. I'll tell you, you do. She is one heck of a friend to have in the ring, isn't she?
Oh, in and out of the ring and anywhere. Matter of fact, I don't know if I told you the story. I'm driving this town one time, and this guy is passing by me in the other lane, speeding like crazy, right? I finally catch up to him, right? As I'm catching up to him, he's looking my way on the other lane. And he freaks out when he looks my way, and his eyes get big as saucers, like he's scared crapless. And he pulls over, and he's like, he's petrified, scared, look on his face. I'm like, what is wrong with this guy, right? And I happened to look in the back seat where he was looking, And there was Dorothy. I didn't realize Dorothy was in the back seat, pressed against the window with her arm stretched out like she was waving at him. And if it wasn't driving, I totally would have took a picture. It was a classic Kodak moment for sure.
That is stinking great.
Great Papa Stro. Now, Todd, before that was going on, you had something to say. Tell me.
Oh, mostly that was great. It's kind of funny that those people react to Dorothy like that, and yet one of my all-time favorite Dorothy moments, I got two of them. One is when Kana cosplayed her, and getting that picture with her, Stro, and Dorothy all together was outstanding. But the
that's awesome.
One of my other favorite pictures just showed up recently on Facebook in one of those little memory things was Papa Stro and I giving Dorothy some sugar.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Dorothy photos. It's stinking great.
You've given her a kiss.
It's just the other side of Dorothy. Dorothy, I don't know. I mean, she's one of our favorites, and yet you got all these other people that react differently.
They just don't know, do they? They just don't know.
Classic.
That's great. So, Nadine, you have been very quiet this evening. Hey.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. I lost you there for a second. I am here. Doing well, enjoying the tales.
That's tales,
T-A-L-E-S, not tales, T-A-I-L-S, of course. Let's get that straight.
Now, there are plenty of institutions in Jacksonville where you can find those. But tonight we're talking about tales from the crypt. Now, Papa Stro, you told me the trailer for the new Halloween film looks spectacular. Has anybody seen the new Halloween yet?
No, I haven't.
Bob Stro, have you?
Not yet, but I'm very curious because I've heard mixed reviews, but I mean the trailer looked really good, and I really enjoyed the original. So if it's anything like the original, yeah.
Yeah, I think in the original, one of the most frightening moments of my life came when the girlfriend was wandering back in the bedroom and she was opening the closet, and we all knew something bad was going to happen. We all expected for Michael to be, to come at her. She opens it up, the dead boyfriend comes flopping out at her. I think that is the most frightened I've ever seen a movie audience in my entire life. It was unbelievable. So I mean, I didn't know what to do. That was truly one of the most frightening in the cinema I've ever had. That, and of course, and we need to, since this is the Halloween special, we need to talk a frightening movie moment. The other one was the big wheel in The Shining, when the little boy was riding down the hallway, and you just knew something very bad was going to happen. And he turned the corner, and there was a little twin.
Oh, yeah. Dorothy's got a tricycle just like that guy, the little guy.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's a pink. It's half of a tricycle, right, Papa Stro? Not the whole thing, but half.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it has to be small. Dorothy isn't that big,
That's exactly right. But yeah, I'm telling you, that was just an absolutely horrific moment for me. All right, Todd, what was your most frightening moment, scared the wits out of you? I know
y'all already know the gig. It's the same reason I am very loath to use a bathroom that has a window in it. Go back to the legend of Boggy Creek. That's all gone. Just trying to go to the can, start a movement and that paw come through the window, oh, yeah, forget that mess. That was,
oh,
that scared the bejesus out of me.
Well, you know what? On that note, I ought to call Lyle Blackburn up and see if he'll join us next week. Remember Lyle, who wrote
I do.
Yeah. How about if I, even though it will be All Saints Day next Thursday, we could have a delayed second Halloween program, couldn't we?
Oh,
we could run Halloween all year for all I care. Halloween's
all right,
great.
Well, I'll take a vote. Is it all right if I give Lyle a call? We'll have him on next week on Pop Culture Stars. Is that all right?
Right on.
Sounds good to me.
Good, Todd.
Raring.
Is that good with you?
Raring.
All right. I'll give Lyle a call, and we'll have a delayed house call. You know what we could do? This would be kind of fun. We'll talk a little bit about All Saints Day because it will be appropriate. It will be next Thursday. So, yeah, we'll do that. All right, so now mine was The Shining. Todd, yours was Bogdan. We'll Dave, and then we'll do Papa Stroh last on this question. Dave, what was one of the most frightening moments in the theaters for you ever?
It didn't happen in a theater. It happened later on. In more than one way, when my first wife was not my first wife and I was trying to make her my first wife, she wanted to go see Hellraiser 2. Now, you got to remember this is, late 80s, early 90s, coming off of Hellraiser 1. If you ever watched that movie, movies like that weren't made back then. Now every movie is like the first Hellraiser, but back then, the bloody mattress, they just didn't talk about it. So anyhow, when Hellraiser 2 came out, and, same thing with the mattress and all, and you're going, okay, all right. So if you've ever watched the Hellraiser shows, you know that the room that they're in goes, when they mess with the little block there, the room will go black and you'll get like this shuttered light and the chains will start coming out and going into the person and pulling the person back in these hook chains and everything. So anyhow, the whole time we're watching the movie, and that's another one of those movies that if you watch it in the theater, it's a whole different experience. Cause now I watch on television and I'm like, eating a bowl of Chef Bardee, watching it, it's like it doesn't even have that effect anymore. But she was, I got this. So about a week later, she wanted to go to the mall in New Bern because, again, back in those days, going to the mall was something to do. So I drove all the way to New Bern with her. And one of these freak thunderstorms came up out of nowhere that we always seem to suffer here in North Carolina. We're at 12:01, it's nice and sunny, and at 12:02, there's this wicked thunderstorm going on. So we were in this store that was called Jeans West, if I recall, and this thunderstorm hit. Well, the lights went out in the mall. All right. So bear in mind, when you're in this jeans store, this is all, they've got racks of jeans, but they also have them hanging from these hooks from the ceiling.
Okay.
And you're not thinking anything of it because it's just the way they're displaying the drawers. They got them hanging from the hooks. And they're long chains dangling from the ceiling with the big hooks, and then the jeans are hung on there for display and blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, when the lights go out in the mall, the emergency lighting kicks in, and apparently that Jeans West building had one of the lights mounted right inside of its door there. So it turned on. Everything was pitch black for a moment. Those kicked on. And their displays were hung on these slotted wooden, you know, the walls had these slotted wooden displays where jeans, you know, the racks of jeans were at and everything. Well, when the light hit it, all you had was this vented light coming through and these chains dangling. And, man, I tell you what, I was like a bitch in her arms. She was like, what's the matter? I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm like, I'm all right. All right. She's like, you okay? You're shaking. I'm, no, I'm good. I've got this. Don't worry about me. Man, for a brief little bit of time, I thought for certain that Pinhead was coming to hang out with me. And I couldn't wait for those lights to come back on. And then we finally got out of the jean store. What's funnier is we walked out of the jean store because I just said, hey, we got to get out of here. I don't like it. We need to get out of here. So we walked out. If you've ever walked up to a mall that's, like, totally still, because, you know, a mall, especially back then, they had fountains and all that kind of jazz. A mm-hmm. mall that is totally silent, tell you, dude, yeah, you just kind of stops like, will somebody please make some noise so I feel a little better? I mean, it was just dead silent in that thing. People were just standing, leaning against the wall, waiting for the lights to come back on. No splashing fountains, nobody talking, no, you know, food court clanging, nothing like that. And it was like, man, come on. All I wanted to do was hook up with this chick. I'm not trying to die today, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, I when we're going for reality stories, we'll do that round here. I had my most frightening moment this past Friday morning. Up at the Tennessee Department Conference. We are at the Farmstead Museum. I got there at 8:45, like I was supposed to. It was cold.
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hold on here, because you may have just glossed past most frightening moment. You were saying you were supposed to be somewhere at a specific time, 8:45 you just mentioned. You said you were actually there.
Yeah, we made it on time.
So that's terrifying.
It is cold, it is raining, it's dark. And I walk in, and I couldn't find the light switch. So I'm trying to walk across the thing and across the Farmstead Museum. It's very dark in there. It's 8:45 in the morning. I'm trying to go to the wall where I know the light switch is. And all of a sudden, I hear real footsteps on the other side of this dark, empty building. And I said to myself, no, don't tell me there is a ghost that is making sounds like this. And just walking, getting ready right in front of the corner, I thought I was going to have a stroke. And all of a sudden, the light came on. It was one of the park employees saying, oh, hi, I saw you come walking in, and that light switch doesn't work. And I thought, I mean, just the sight of her just walking in and just I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was like, oh, no. And she started laughing. Because I never saw her, heard her open the door and come in. It was surely the most frightening moment of my life. I didn't know. I didn't know if it was going to be Jeepers Creepers or what. And, yeah, I think that's probably my biggest fear is to meet Jeepers Creepers or whatever his name was. So, but that was just, I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. Dark in there, quiet, and nothing was going on. And here come the footsteps. And it's like you don't know what. And it's like they had a lot of mannequins in there, you know. And I was afraid one of those mannequins, because they seemed to be really dark in there. I was afraid one of them had come to life. I really was. So, anyway, you almost didn't have me tonight. I was almost going to be in King Memorial Hospital. But anyway, so we made it through there. And we had a scary, scary experience.
Well, this one kind of started off scary, but it ended up pretty amusing, actually. A while back, I used to do some ghost hunting, and I was part of a ghost hunting expedition at the Moundsville Prison in West Virginia, Pittsburgh, and across from the prison, there's this Indian burial ground, huge Indian burial ground. So we've been told there's a lot of activity going on in this prison, right? So we went on lockdown that night, ghost hunting, see what we can find, right? And yeah, they had all the EVP machines and all this, and they saw this upside down bat sleeping in one of the cells, and they were it made this ghost upset and kicked dust up in the air in one of the cells, and a lot of commotion activity going on. And it got a lot of, you know, and ghost hunters were getting kind of, you know, scared, right? And because they kept knowing this and all this, right? Well, it just so happens I had like a radio with me, like a cassette radio player with me as I'm holding the lantern. And one of the tapes I had was a bunch of the 70s music. And when everybody started freaking out, I was trying to calm them down, and the only way that I figured doing, like, maybe why not listen to some music, right? So I see what I had playing on the cassette there, right? And all of a sudden, the radio start, the cassette starts playing Alicia Bridges, "I Love the Nightlife." I take one of the lady ghost hunting dancers. Ghost hunters rather, than start dancing with her after playing the song. And all the ghost hunters are looking at me like I've lost my mind. And all I could think about was that scene with George Hamilton playing Dracula. That one movie where he's out to do a disco dancing with a girl, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. But because everybody was freaking out, all these noises, and I didn't know how to calm them down, so I figured, what the heck, I'll play some music. And that song popped up, and I started dancing with the ghost hunter in the prison.
I love the skyline. I want a good
right. Oh, man.
That is a priceless moment in horror. And Todd, you got a practical, real life horror story for us?
I can tell you a place that I drove through that scared the bejesus out of me, and there was no way in hell I was getting out of the vehicle. We were doing a trip from 29 Palms, California. I think we were shooting for Lake Havasu. And, God, this must have been back. I'm assuming somewhere around 86. And growing up, one of the scariest movies I remember as a small child was that old movie. God, it must have been real early 70 or so, somewhere around 1970, called Gargoyles. And in a little town out in the desert, and, you know, these people they found there, and the gargoyles, you know, they come back around every however many hundred years or whatever. But it was just a real small town and all that. Boy, we were driving through there. I saw that place, and it just struck up the memories about that. We were near sundown. And I'm thinking, I don't care if I get a ticket. We're hauling ass through all of here because there is no way I'm going to be in any place that is going to, oh, yeah, I may have been a corporal of Marines and all this stuff, but no, yeah, I was a non-commissioned officer of Marines, but my ass was not going to stop or be anywhere near that place if it was going to be dark. But I guaranteed you, I flew through there, and it later came to mind. Some years later, once doggone The Hitcher came out, boy, it was a lot like that town where old boy ripped the girl apart with the semi. It's like, man, because I'll tell you right now, the original Hitcher.
Yeah, the Rutger Hauer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Rutger Hauer.
Theater too, man. And that was another one. You wondered if the guy was ever going to get out of it. Because, I mean, the guy just could not get away from Rutger Hauer. Again, I've said it over and over about movies like that, movies like The Terminator, movies like The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. what made those movies so out of control was the fact that they just didn't make movies like that back then. You know, like Paranormal Activity. I call it Abnormal Activity because it's almost like a damn police academy where it's the same thing over and over and over. And now the whole jump scare thing where everything's got to be a jump scare or a gore fest or something. You know, back in 87, I think it was 87 when that came out. I mean, and C. Thomas Howell back in those days was the man. I mean, he was doing everything. Red Dawn, Outsiders, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you're sitting there in your seat, and Rutger Hauer just is around every corner, and you're just kind of like, hang on, see, it's going to be all right, dog. Just hang in there, man, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
That was incredible movie.
Go on, John. Sorry.
Yeah, no, those persistent ghosts are the most frightening. Rod Serling, I think, was one of the inventors of that. And then a film that was so frightening, it took me three times to watch it all the way through, was Carnival of Souls. And there was this weird dude that just kept showing up on the side of the road. Drive fast enough, and there he was up in front of her. It turns out she was drowning and dying when we find out at the end. That was so terrifying. I remember I tried to watch that when I was like 12 years old. I couldn't do it. It was just too much for me. The persistent ghost absolutely one of the most frightening things. Rod Serling was so great. I believe he really invented that concept. I mean, what a great author. And we were just so lucky to have those Twilight Zone episodes. Some of them were kind of hokey. Some of them were just absolutely terrifying. And you saw them the first time, even in reruns, and they were black and white and everything in color, and you know it's not real. But boy, it sure does look real, and it just bugged me anyway. I mean, we were very fortunate. And I tell you what, we're going to have Sword Circle back. I think we're having some technical difficulties up there in Raleigh, but you know, it's been great sharing horror stories and moments from Halloween with my buddies on Pop Culture Stars. And so what I'd like to do is let's swing around the room, so to speak, and let's do our plugs, as Papa Stroh taught us how to do on WCW Retro, and then we'll see if we can have one of several guests. I know that we'll see if we can have Bob Blackburn. I'm also going to see if I can't have Dale Houston and Angelia Scher. Papa Stroh, they were a lot of fun this weekend, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, great people.
Really, Dale's got some great stories. Dale's got a horror story about driving in Colorado. We'll get him to share that if Lyle's not available. But we'll have a great time next week. I want to start off, Dave Atwell, super plug time.
Yes, sir. Truth be told, Josh Mayers, our good buddy, very talented young man, who I shared the pleasure of working with not only at the shows, but also at the old Ham and Egger where we make the real money. And this young man, he hit a rut there for a little bit where, you know, and it happens to everybody with the creative streak in them. They kind of, you know, hit a little groove where they just can't really get the engine to turn. And I don't know what got into him, but this young man has been turning out some ridiculous stuff lately. So if you get a chance to check out his work, Josh Mayers is his name. And in the event you can't find him floating around the internet somewhere, coming up over the next 2 months between now and Christmas, me and him will be appearing at the Second and Charles next door to work there on Western Boulevard several times this year, and we will be moving the art and moving the Hunger series there periodically whenever we can get over and set a table up. But if you get a chance to look up his work, that young man's really on fire. Proud of him. Great guy. And Todd, I don't know if the word got your way or not, but he is going to be a dad here very soon. And
excited for him, man.
And yep, and Cherokee, his fiance and him are expecting a son, and on the way. So looking forward to all that, and looking forward to watching him enjoy his renaissance as any guy does when he has a son and gets the time to sit down and explain the Ninja Turtles and superheroes and Star Wars and everything like that to him. I think he's going to be a fantastic dad. And what a great
wait till he teaches him martial arts.
Exactly. And that kid's got a dad. Yeah, he's gonna have some fun. So congratulations to him. There's my plug. Fantastic young man. Josh Mayer is his name. Keep your eyes open for him.
I'm gonna throw out a quick story on him. Well, actually, I'm gonna feed you a story to tell on him. A piece of thrown together, pseudo, not really done, just kind of pay attention to me ticket that he threw on the table art-wise that he managed to sell, something he was scribbling together the morning in the show, right?
Right. Yeah,
was it the Jacksonville Con?
Yeah, that's where it was. It was, he had the Pennywise. He had a Pennywise, and you know how I always have the bucket of candy sitting on my table? Well, he put the candy in between his table and mine, took the Pennywise and took one of my sticky notes and wrote on there, "Want some candy," and stuck it to this Pennywise that he had drawn, you know, a while back. I think the con was going for maybe 5 minutes and he sold it. Then there was another piece that he had done halfway. God, it's totally slipping on me what it was. It was either a Venom or a Thanos or something like that. But he was halfway done with it, and some guy turned around and picked it up and bought it right there, and he wasn't even finished with it. And, you know, Josh kind of told him, he said, "Hey, you know, let me finish the thing, guys." No, I love it the way it is. And money was tossed across the table, and the artwork disappeared. So, like I said, fantastic young man, and it's so good to see him motivated and going at it. Because, like I said, his son is going to have such a robust and interesting and fun childhood. Because I could just picture Josh just educating this young man on geek culture from the first day. So,
yeah, well, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to give him a hug for me, man.
Yeah, we'll do, man.
I just ain't there to do it. Tell him congratulations.
Yeah, we're missing you down here. That's for certain. It's you're not missing much at the workplace, but we're missing you. You understand my meaning?
I'm tracking.
It really is.
If you want some good haunted house stories, just ask me about work.
Okay.
Well, I got to slide into Halloween one. You do remember when we had Ghost caught on tape in Halloween, right?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all remember those little tissue paper ghosts that we used to make, right? As kids, you know, grade school and whatever.
Yeah,
I did one of those and grabbed a bunch of Scotch tape and had the little tissue ghost all wrapped up into it and put it up on our freezer door and put a note on it. Ghost caught on tape.
Ghost gone wild.
Ghost caught on tape. Just yeah, so that's what I bring to the workplace. Just saying.
I forgot, John. That is so funny. That's so funny. All right, Todd, that's great. Is that your plug for the before Halloween show?
Man, we got to do a plug. Let me... let me throw it. All your local haunted houses. Don't forget about these things. I've got to work them. I've gone. Just a real quick favorite story is. We went to a local volunteer fire department, had the whole field set up behind them, was doing a gig, and they were preaching about not touching the staff and things. We're going through it, and one of the zombies come out and start hugging my daughter and I as we're walking through it, Sakana and I. So it was, there was old Marquita, Cheryl's daughter from the bakery, coming out and hugging us. And I was like, you know, we get in trouble if we touch y'all. They're like, yeah, this is different. I'm coming out and hugging y'all. And the people with us were like, how do you know these people? But yeah, your local haunted houses and that, far and wide, they tend to be funding something that's going on, you know, some type of group or organization. And more often than not, it's actually a good thing. So go support those things. Get a chance. Go work in them. They're a blast. Just have fun.
That is great. Thank you for that plug. That's a good local plug. Officer, what's the second plug?
This Sunday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., I'm going to be part of the Princess for Paws dog pageant at the USO building in Jacksonville, North Carolina. So looking forward to being a part of special guest judge for the pageant. Last year had a really great time with Miss North Carolina and some of the chamber there. So looking forward to seeing the Princess for Paws people again. They do a lot of great things for animals. And for more ticket information, folks, if you're in the Jacksonville, North Carolina area Sunday to be part of the pageant, you can go to princessforpaws.org. That's just like it sounds, princessforpaws.org. November 3rd and 4th, I'll be part of the Grand Strand Comic-Con at Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, near the Myrtle Beach area. And I'll be there with reuniting and catching up, if you will, with my former tag team partner and former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Tommy Wildfire Rich, as well as many other talented people that will be there on hand for the Grand Strand Comic-Con. For more info, go to Grand Strand ComicConMB.com for more info, and also be looking out for a film I'm in that's on some stores and Amazon and iTunes called The Rack Pack with myself, C. Thomas Howell, Rainey Jones, David Shifter, and a whole list of talented people and the great
family.
That's
a Daryl Rackley flick, right?
Yes. Wow. Story of Daryl Rackley in a Rack Pack, and true story about him and his friends growing up as the Rack Pack, and it's a really cool film. Everybody involved did such a tremendous job, and hats off to Daryl Rackley and the Rackley family for getting this all together. So it's be looking, get your copy. It's in stores, iTunes, and Amazon. Also, next month will be on DVD, we popping off a Christian-based film that I'll be in called Sacred Hearts. So I'll be looking out for Sacred Hearts next month as well. And for all the latest on TV, wrestling, and film, go to my official website, Testro.com, Testro.com. On Facebook, Testro the Maestro. Twitter, @Testro. Instagram, Testro Maestro. And subscribe to my YouTube channel at YouTube.com/seasoncat/Testro Maestro, or put Testro Maestro, two words, in the YouTube search. And before I go, my thoughts and prayers, continuous thoughts and prayers to everyone involved with the storms this past month and a half or so. Also to the Noy family, to Roman Reigns, a.k.a. Joe Noy, and Samu. Both of them are fighting for life with cancer-related issues. So hats off to everyone in the Noy family. Much love, prayers, and support there. And to everyone involved that's dealing with cancer in this world, you guys are definitely in our thoughts and prayers for sure. And thank you for being here.
We are glad to have you, Papa. Astro, as well as Dave, as well as Todd. I will say, come check out Cody and I, Carolina Caricatures, Saturday night at the largest Halloween party in South Carolina at Historic Camden. There'll be over 2,000 kids and their parents. It will be a madhouse. It is the most fun. We are so privileged to be one of the four vendors there. There'll be a line, but it'll be a lot of fun. So please check us out, Historic Camden Halloween Band, Camden, South Carolina, 220 Broad Street, right off the interstate. It's going to be right off Interstate 22. So check us out. It'll be a lot of fun. I want to thank my panel tonight. We got a number of guests. We might even have two guests next week. Hopefully we can get Sword Circle back, and we'll hopefully have either Lyle Blackburn with us, or we'll have, of course, the dynamic duo of Dale Houston and Angela Scherer. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and everybody's cool. So I want to say on the bottom of my heart, thank you to my buddies at Pop Culture Stars. We will see you next week. I will see you next week along with Bobby Strode. I'll be at 9:30 on WCW Retro. So everybody be good, stay safe over Halloween. Oh, all right, well, Pop, so we're doing Halloween on WCW Retro, aren't we?
Yeah, amazing.
Awesome.
I'll have a story. Okay, so it'll be great. So look, thanks. Have a great week and a great weekend. Be safe. Be careful. And Pop Culture Star, back next week. Cheers.
Good night, everybody.
BradyVix.com. Not.